Welcome to Ideas for the Future of Vermont, a podcast produced by GNAT TV and the Vermont Council on Rural Development.
Hello and welcome to the start of a very special series of programs GNAT TV and other community access stations across the Vermont Access Network will be partnering on with the Vermont Council on Rural Development and the Barry Montpelier Times Argus newspaper. Many of you are already familiar with the work of the Rural Development Council through their community visits that they've conducted over the past several years. Since 1996, the council has conducted 76 community visits all told, usually working in two communities each year. Currently, they are working on visits with the towns of Londonderry, Barry, and Mendon remotely this year, a bit of a change from their usual hands-on, in-person approach. Today, we're very pleased to welcome Paul Costello, the Executive Director of the Vermont Council on Rural Development, for a conversation about the upcoming 10-part series on Ideas for the Future of Vermont. What are some of the big questions that are facing the state as we emerge out of the pandemic and into whatever lies ahead? Topics in our 10-part series will include such areas as broadband development, education, childcare, business development, climate change, and several others. Paul, it's great to have you here to give us a bit of an overview about the series and to give our viewers a sense of what lies ahead. Thank you very much for making the time for this conversation.
Thank you so much, Andrew. And I want to thank GNAT and the Vermont Access Network, all the partners, for your dedication to advancing the engagement of Vermonters in this deep process of thinking about the future. So thanks.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. I guess just to kind of get us started on this conversation today, I was wondering, where did the idea for the series come from? I mean, what was the background process that you went through as you were thinking about this series?
It's a bit of a long story, but we've been thinking about the future of Vermont for a long time. You know, we've, like you say, we've been working with local communities throughout the state for more than 20 years. We've managed policy councils on everything from in-state energy development to the structure of the planning system to the future of agriculture. And we've learned by going to communities and adding things up what some of the fundamental policy challenges are around the future of our communities. About 12 years ago, we ran a process called the Council on the Future of Vermont that was one of the largest analyses of public values and priorities for the future that's ever been done in the state. And my board's been thinking about what's the next iteration of that conversation with Vermonters for a couple of years. When COVID struck, the question of the future and how we respond together to COVID got on our deck in a very central way. We in COVID saw our work in engagement with communities where we would build major meetings with 300 people sort of fall apart. And so we turned and we started working with groups that were forming all across the state to respond to COVID. Then we started to bring together resource providers who were doing work to connect and support communities. And then the governor asked us to chair his work in local solutions for COVID. And so we've ended up talking to thousands of people about where we are and their perspectives on recovery. And to us, we've come to see this as a crucible of a moment in Vermont history, equivalent to 1932. Where we're coming out of a really challenging fiscal situation. We're looking at a national dialogue on race and justice that's got fundamental implications for the future of Vermont and connects to us personally as Americans, but also to economic opportunities, disparities, and immigration to Vermont. You know, some fundamental big picture questions. And then the political dialogue that's gone on nationally and the divisiveness we've seen nationally is also part of our challenge for Vermont's future. How do we communicate? How do we connect? What do we stand for? We all know also that science, which thankfully we followed well in Vermont in response to COVID, also predicts that we're not done with challenges. We know that climate change is real, it's here now, and that there are cascading impacts of climate change that we need to prepare for and maybe get ahead of by building some solutions that situate Vermont successfully for the economy of the future. So all these questions come together for us, and we thought that it would be really important to come out of the COVID challenge with a deeper appreciation of each other as Vermonters and a rededication to some of our sense of community and to a sense of common direction and identity as a place. And so we're holding these conversations around a set of ideas towards action. And we're looking forward to working with the stations to evaluate some of these ideas. We know we're a facilitator, we're a listening organization. We don't have all the answers. And so we're really eager to hear from the viewers of your shows, from Times Argus, Rutland Herald readers, and from other folks all around the state around their perspectives for the future of Vermont. We have a website called www.futureofvermont.org where people can survey and put their propositions on paper around the future. But it's going to be a major effort for us over the next 6 months and into the long-term future of our organization.
And for each one of the discussion topics, we'll have two panelists joining us, experts in the field, depending on the topic that's going to be under discussion that day.
Yeah, so we'll be starting those and doing them regularly, probably one a week. And we're going to connect to the diversity of Vermont voices. We don't think there's just one way of looking at something. We have framed a set of propositions that you can see on the Future of Vermont website that are starting points for this dialogue, but they're bound to change. We started this by interviewing former governors, business leaders, Vermonters in all their diversity. And then we're working to interview groups of people, and we've talked to hundreds of people. We've had over 1,000 people take the survey, and all of that and the responses we get from your viewers and through the Times Argus, Rutland Herald, we'll have places for people to write in there. All that input will go into rewriting this platform of action statements towards the future.
And in a moment, I want to kind of walk down through our list of shows or topics that are going to be discussed. But I was thinking, you know, had the COVID pandemic never happened, probably a lot of these same questions would have been on the list as well. But I'm sure that with the arrival of the pandemic, now almost exactly a year old, that's put a whole different spin on, I suppose, the urgency of
some. Yeah, that's certain. You know, the loss of youth in rural communities, the economic doldrums and in the border regions of Vermont, the challenge to the future of agriculture, you know, these are things that exist, and they've been the challenges of the last generation in some ways. And COVID puts a laser glare on these issues, and like childcare, like broadband, and it shows the challenge to our resilience and the challenge to our functioning in a tough corner. And part of what we hear from Vermonters, and we heard from all the people we interviewed around COVID response and COVID recovery, were that there's this universal theme that we don't want to just go backward and think we can go back to some kind of normal. That in fact, we need to look at the crisis as also an opportunity to think differently, to organize differently, to evaluate what's worked and not worked over the last few years for Vermont, and to sort of set some new big picture goals. So some of this isn't new at all, and we're simply adding up some of the fundamental challenges that people have been talking about for years, but not just leaving them as problem statements, flipping them into saying, we should do this to answer this problem. And and then test it and see what people think. You know, do people, when you raise the flag for universal broadband, do people salute, or do they say it's not possible, or it's too complicated for us to do? And so really do an evaluation of some of those possibilities. And then when we get to a point where there seems to be good consensus around these directions, we'll be turning into a conversation about what are the strategies, who needs to be brought together, what sort of action is necessary to drive this particular part of this proposition forward. And we're committed to be doing that work over the course of the next year and more.
This will go beyond just a simple description or analysis of these problems. There'll also be an attempt to kind of develop some answers as to the how will we fix these, come up with some real concrete ideas as to, well, okay, we can all agree that expanding broadband, for instance, is makes a lot of sense, but how will we do that?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we recognize that this is much bigger than us as an organization, and it's not something we own, these answers. We're really a listening organization and a facilitator. We're charged by the Farm Bill to coordinate and convene public policy conversations around the future of rural Vermont. And so we're acting from our core strength. And I think part of what makes us a useful facilitator at the community level or at the statewide policy level is that we have a certain humility. We don't think we have all the answers. We respect the people that we are listening to, as you know, that there's embedded wisdom in every room and in every community and in the people of Vermont. And you know, we've gone through this period as a country where we think maybe we can't do big things anymore, or we think we're paralyzed because we are divided. And yet when you talk to people about values and what we stand for individually, you often hear people say the same things. And so we're kind of interested in the process that's the opposite of politics, where you look for your corner to argue against the other side to win, to say, no, what's the thing that's in the middle that is something we agree on and that we could unify around? And by doing so, raise the table, you know, let's line up. Let's look to a patriotism of purpose around working together across points of difference. You know, let's not just concentrate on what divides us. Let's line up. And to me, that's sort of a fundamental duty to us as citizens in democracy. You know, this is really old fashioned, right? But it's also like, it's also something that maybe we need to refresh a little bit. You know, our flag, our symbol talks about freedom and unity, and that those words have been on the flag a long time. But there's a new generation of Vermonters who have to define what that means and what that means for the future. We can't just think we have the answers in a world that's changing rapidly around us. And so we believe it's really important to ask those kind of big questions about where we're going and see where we have common truths, where we have points that we can leverage significant progress, and maybe not do everything at once, but think about what some core priorities might be that, if done and if taken to scale with some unity of the people of Vermont behind them, could make a tremendous difference. So we have faith that we can do some of that. And we're really interested in hearing from your viewers and from people, readers and people all across Vermont who want to contribute to that process.
And before I forget, I think I should give a shout out to the Barry Montpelier Times Argus. They're playing an important role in this as well. They'll be publishing a webpage, I guess, that's devoted to this, as well as devoting a page in their one of their weekend papers for
their Saturday Perspectives page will center on this each week, and they'll have a series that will very much parallel this GNAT-led series.
I was just looking down through the list of the various propositions that you have here. Broadband has been one of the areas that's been discussed a lot, and it's going to be our first show. But I'm looking at part two here is one that's really intriguing and has gotten a fair amount of attention recently. Vermonters must oppose racism, renew and expand our collective identity, and welcome new Vermonters. That's going to be an interesting hurdle to get past, I think, for the state as a whole.
Yeah. This is something we are hearing in all these conversations across the state and in all these recovery conversations. And it's coming from the governor down to local businesses, where Vermont has significant challenges in as an aging state and a state that has significant workforce needs beyond what our current capacities and has economic doldrums in many communities across the state, partly because of those demographic challenges and workforce issues. Being open to immigration and welcoming of newcomers is going to be fundamental to the success of our future economy. And where Vermont has a long history of principled positions around race and gender and what we stand for, but we also have, we're one of the whitest states in the union, partly because there's probably because we're so white, it's difficult for newcomers to come and feel accepted. And we may have cultural barriers that make that so. You know, we talk to people and we say, where are you from? You know, are you, and you say that to someone that's in your neighborhood that you may want to know what road they live on, or you may want to know about their family and so forth. But when you say it to a person of color who's visiting Vermont, it may be saying, boy, you don't look like us, or, you know, where are you from? You're not from here. And so we think it's really important to have a deep cultural conversation about the way that we welcome people, the way that we look at systemic issues around race and racism in our society, and the way that we recognize that someone who moves to Vermont and wants to be part of this place and is bringing contributions to this place of creativity and difference, that are welcomed day one as a Vermonter. We have a long history of thinking of, you know, this divide between Flatlanders and natives and stuff like that. And it doesn't really work in the sort of economic world of the future, the cultural world of that we've grown into. And we look at this as an area of great opportunity. And I think sometimes we can get stuck around any of these issues like climate change or any of the different problems that we have, to where we only look at it as a problem and we're paralyzed by it. And I think that a lot of this initiative is to say, what's the step forward in this, rather than just thinking of it as a problem? What's the step forward that contributes to the renewal of this place? What's the way that we answer this that benefits us as a community, benefits us culturally, benefits our economy? And so this one is a deep conversation that's happening everywhere in Vermont right now, I think. And we think it's important to have it at center stage as we think about the future of the state.
It's really fascinating how so many of these propositions that you've lined up here sort of interrelate with each other. As you were answering there, my last question about Proposition 2, the opposition to racism, you know, it struck me that looking at Part 7 or Proposition 7, Vermont must strengthen business vitality by advancing entrepreneurship, investment, workforce, and rural innovation. That really is connected to that second proposition on racism, because the workforce of Vermont's future is likely to have a different look than the one that we have today, or certainly the one that we had 20 or 30 years ago. And overhauling some of the attitudes, cultural or otherwise, that may have shaped the state really is going to stand in our way if we kind of don't adapt some more.
Yeah, it doesn't mean we don't have values that we don't value our history and that we don't value the great people who've done wonderful things here. And it's an and rather than a or. And so we're really trying to add these things up that we're hearing from so many people. You know, you're right. There's like connection and continuity between the different issues on the table. And some of them are things that, you know, who doesn't agree that we need to work towards universal broadband, right? But that's a good thing. You know, maybe there are things that we just all agree on. So let's put them out there. Let's put them on the table. And like the fact that every family should have the opportunity for affordable childcare. That's part of modern life now. And how do we ensure that so that we can expand our workforce and we can support the prosperity of families and we can make sure that every child's getting the stimulus that they need to have the growth of their skills, their, you know, everything that shows us about children's brain development shows that their physiological process of brain development is stimulated by other kids, by constant education, reading, in the whole nine yards. And we want to make sure that Vermont children get off to a great start. So some of these things, we're not trying to build a list of controversial topics. It's a little bit more like writing, you know, when they sent Thomas Jefferson out from the Continental Congress to say, what is it? How do we want to put this? We hold these truths self-evident. You know, are there still self-evident truths? You know, do we all still believe in justice? You know, do we all, you know, of course we do, but maybe we need to find ways to reaffirm some of these big picture directions.
It struck me as we're talking today that we're on the threshold of a potentially unique moment or opportunity in the state's history with the federal monies that's going to be coming in from the Third American Rescue Plan. I was about to say the CARES Act, but that was last year, I guess. I'm sure a lot of people would agree, like we were talking about with broadband. Yeah, well, absolutely, great idea to expand it, but that's a $300 million problem, and the state doesn't have $300 million to throw at it.
I heard it was a $200 million problem.
It may be $100 million between friends, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
a lot of money, a lot of tax revenue that would have been required to do that. That, you know, clearly the state couldn't have afforded easily. But now we do apparently have a little more, maybe leeway on working on some of these issues like childcare or broadband or energy issues.
I think that it is a historic moment with federal resources. It's also a historic moment in, I think, we looked at Vermonters' faces in thousands of faces in these Zoom calls that we've run over the last few months. And you see people who say, we're working with desperate urgency to respond to COVID and to work towards recovery under circumstances beyond our control, where we don't know what's coming next. And how anxious and challenging that has been for people. And, you know, we spent a lot of nights on the road in Zoom with different places in the state where you'd feel that tiredness and anxiety and tension that people are living under. And you'd see also this deep strength of commitment and dedication and like, mutuality, like we're in this together. And I think the governor was a great foil to that conversation with the good science and the commitment to the recognition of Vermont strong. But as we come out of this, it would be a shame to waste that sense of unity and commitment and to think we're not really capable of great things. You know, we come into these small communities as facilitators, and you look at the downtown, and sometimes you come into a community where they feel like the glass is half empty, Like, you know, we don't really have the power to make change. You know, one way or another, we can't afford things, or we can't, or people are too divided. And towns that give up on things don't build a lot of momentum, and they also don't attract the energies of the next generation. If you want to, you know, we're in an international competition for youth. We're in an international competition for creativity, for entrepreneurs. They can live anywhere in the world. And with the digital economy and digital media, they can be anywhere. What's going to make them want to live in Hardwick or in Topsom or Corinth or Rutland? What's going to make them want to live there is an internal sense of dynamism, a brand that people in Rutland share of, I love Rutland. Rutland's a place on the move. We have the opportunity for progress, and we're lining up to make it so. And the next generation wants to be there. They're looking for a place with purpose and energy. And so that competition is one that we can't be complacent in the face of. No community can. And as a state, we can't. We often talk about our economy as our problem. We're a bad place to do business, one thing and another. And, you know, part of that is motivated by the need to shift and make policy changes to make it a better place to do business. That's okay. But we also need to say we're the best place in the world to do business if you are a business that doesn't degrade environmental resources or benefits community, or is at a scale that fits into these particular places that we have, or connects to initiatives that are fundamental to what's great about Vermont, like the food systems movement or clean energy development and others. And by situating ourselves and having a collective story, we become a magnet that can further fulfill some of the directions that we set. So, you know, we're not in the process of trying to build a new vision for Vermont so much as we're trying to go from some collective ideas of vision that we may already be sharing in many different ways about what we love about this place, and turn them into a set of action statements that people could line up around in the next year or so.
I just wanted to say before we go, I believe this is going to culminate with a summit meeting of some sort.
The end of May, we're going to build a summit on Vermont's future, which will be a major digital event, unfortunately. But and we're going to be building a partnership to advance some of these ideas together that could include thousands of Vermonters. We're going to be building a leadership team, a bit of a board, to help frame steps forward tactically, strategically, and in a nonpartisan, positive and aspirational way politically. So this isn't, we're not in the interest of right or left camps with this work or the political parties. We're trying to raise aspirations, but we plan to carry those aspirations, carry them to the governor, carry them to the legislature, carry them to people and organizations and businesses that have the power to move them forward. And, you know, we think that Vermonters are going to be hungry for momentum, and that we believe that the people of Vermont will lead work forward.
All right. We'll have to leave it there for today, but we'll be back next week with the first of the programs that'll be centering on broadband, and you'll be able to catch those programs here and across the Vermont Access Network community access stations, as well as we said earlier, the Barry Montpelier Times Argus. Paul, see you next week, and we'll look forward to seeing all of you folks too when our series of discussions rolls out beginning next week. And until then, have a great day, stay safe, and we'll see you back here next time.
You have been listening to Ideas for the Future of Vermont, a podcast produced by GNAT TV and the Vermont Council on Rural Development. Thank you for listening local.